The second guard led Anya off the gangplank. The first guard practically carried Cole. His head lolled forward. Anya had no idea what they'd done to him before she got into the submarine.
What happened to him?
Probably lingering effects from that last session. Maybe all the fight's gone out of him. Maybe he's ready to die.
That makes one of us.
Give us any grief and we'll just shoot you. Play your cards right and you and the quiet man here can have some valuable alone time before the bomb blows.
Nothing like going out with a bang.
Oh, that's hysterical. Henderson really does hire the brightest boys he can find, huh?
They walked up the slope toward the lower level. The guards stopped long enough for her to see the submarine head off down the tunnel toward the cavern's exit.
That's it. Now it's just us left.
Let's get this done and hightail it out of here. I don't like being left behind.
Good point.
Anya let herself be guided to the lower level into a section that she hadn't seen before. She could see the shaft that led down to the bedrock that Henderson wanted blown up. At the bottom of the shaft, she could see a yellow circular case with the international symbol for nuclear material on it.
That's it?
Yeah.
You know, come to think of it, I don't really want to die in this place.
Cole suddenly came to life and kneed his astonished guard in the crotch.
Cole, drop! Hold still.
Anya cut the chain between Cole's cuffs. She helped him to his feet.
Can we leave now? I'm tired of being here.
I wish. We've got to take care of some other business first.
What business?
First my handcuffs, then the bomb.
Cole grabbed a set of keys from one of the dead guards. He freed Anya's hands and then removed the broken cuffs from his own wrists.
I must have missed some of the details after they knocked me out. What did you say about a bomb?
Anya pointed at the shaft.
You see that?
Yeah, what about it?
Take a look at what's inside.
Anya waited until Cole crawled over to the lip of the shaft and looked down. The color drained from his face, and he stared back at Anya.
That's a nuclear device.
Yep. That's what Henderson is using to open up the reservoir of oil that's buried beneath the bedrock in this cavern.
You're joking.
I wish.
Any idea when it's going to go off?
Don't know. Those two were supposed to put us down there and then take one of the mechanical sharks to rendezvous with Henderson at another facility.
He's waiting for them?
Maybe.
Why maybe?
Anya sat down on the lip of the shaft and dangled her legs over the side. The bomb sat 30 feet below her.
It depends on how much you trust Henderson's word.
And you don't.
Please. He's nuts and a billionaire industrialist. He didn't achieve either status by valuing individual human lives. He'll probably get a safe distance away and then trigger that bomb. I don't think he gives a damn about the guards either way.
Which means we don't have a lot of time.
Exactly.
So, why are we still here?
Because if that thing goes off, then hundreds of thousands of people might die.
The bomb's not that big, Anya.
Henderson's got this thing positioned atop a fault line. As in earthquake fault line.
So it will cause an earthquake.
What it might do is precipitate a massive quake that would result in a tsunami that could take out part of the eastern seaboard of the United States and Canada.
Oh, shit.
Exactly. We've got to stop that thing from going off.
Just like that?
Got a better idea?
Cole simply stared down at the device. Anya looked at the walls of the shaft. The drilling had left a series of pockmarks that Anya thought could make decent hand and footholds. She lowered herself over the edge and found her way onto the first one close to her feet.
Jesus, you're really serious about this. You think you can do something?
I don't know, but I've got to try. Look, it's not fair for me to ask you to stay. Why don't you take that shark and get out of here?
Don't tempt me.
I'm serious.
Yeah, I know you are, but even if I get out of the cavern, there's no guarantee I'll make it out and back to the Seeker. And if this thing is below the ship, my brother might be in mortal danger, too.
That's true.
I'll stay.
Anya continued climbing down, using the holds until she at last made it to the small ledge sitting next to the yellow container. She looked at the top of the container and saw the variety of symbols, all of which were clearly designed to scare the bejesus out of anyone who got too close. Anya looked at the four clasps, securing the lid to the main body of the bomb.
I screw this up and we're gonna glow in the dark.
You screw that up and we won't be glowing, we'll be molecules.
Anya nodded and released one of the metal clasps.
Cripes. Have I already released radioactivity into the air? I have no clue what I'm doing here.
How's it going?
Here goes another clasp.
That sound freaks me out.
You and me both.
A line of sweat broke out along Anya's hairline, and she wiped some of it away before turning back to the device.
Fourth time's the charm?
Let's hope so.
I'm ready to lift the lid off.
Go slow.
What makes you say that?
Damned if I know. They always say that in the movies.
Anya turned back to the bomb and lifted the yellow lid off.
Hang on to this, will you?
Cole caught it and set it down next to him on the lip of the shaft. Anya peered down at the digital display on top of the bomb. To the right of the display was a small remote receiver with a wire sticking out of it.
It's rigged with a remote.
You sure?
Yeah.
Around the receiver, hundreds of different colored wires twisted this way and that. Anya peered closer and saw a metal cylinder in the center of the device. She tried to remember any facts she might have come across relating to nuclear bombs. She couldn't think of a single one. She started touching the various wires, trying to see if there was a single one that looked as if it might initiate the reaction that would trigger the bomb.
What do you see, Anya?
Spaghetti. I don't know what I'm looking at. It could be any number of things here. There are so many wires. It's confusing as hell. It probably takes an atomic scientist to make sense out of this thing.
Well, you'd better hurry up or it won't matter anymore.
I need a knife to cut these wires.
Anya, don't you have, like, the biggest knife in the world?
That's a bit like using a hatchet for surgery.
You're going to nitpick at a time like this?
Good point. I'm gonna cut the wires. First for the remote and then for what I think is the timer.
Go for it.
Anya eased the tip of the blade through the mass of wires closest to the remote receiver.
If this is the receiver and the initiator, then I'm hoping this takes it out.
And if not?
Then we're screwed.
Well, good luck. Here's to choosing right.
Anya nodded and carefully started slicing into the mass of wires. The sword divided them one after the other until she'd cut through a dozen of them. Anya removed the sword and leaned back.
Did it work?
The display suddenly flashed, and a digital readout lit up, showing a rapidly dwindling clock.
Damn.
What?
I think I made the wrong decision when I cut the wires.
Are you sure?
As soon as I cut the wires leading from the receiver into the center of the bomb, the clock sped up.
How much time is left?
2 minutes.
2 minutes?
Well, less now.
Anya kept peering at the bomb's innards, thinking about the wires leading from the clock. If they were booby-trapped, they might simply initiate the detonation. But they had so little time left that if she chose to cut the wires, it wouldn't make much difference if she was wrong.
I'm gonna cut some more wires.
You always face death this calmly?
Maybe I'm just used to it.
I wish I was.
No, you don't.
Anya bent over the timer with her sword and saw where the wires came away and led into the metal cylinder. She eased the blade below the wires and watched as it sliced through them cleanly. Then she leaned back and checked the clock. The display still showed the clock running down. There must have been a secondary power supply for the clock. She didn't know if it would still initiate the detonation if it wasn't connected.
What's going on?
I cut the clock's wires, but the timer's still counting down.
So what's that mean?
I have no idea.
Well, climb the hell back up here and hold me until we either die or live. I'm feeling very vulnerable just now.
Anya smiled and scrambled back up to the top of the lip. Cole held out his arms.
I know this flies right in the face of the macho persona you're used to, but damn it, I need a hug.
You're adorable when you act like a little kid.
How much time is left?
10 seconds.
It's been fun. Seriously.
Likewise.
They stayed that way for far longer than 10 seconds.
Wow.
Shouldn't we be dead?
The clock should have finished running down by now.
Anya peered over the lip of the shaft and saw that the clock read nothing but zeros.
Clock's finished.
And no boom.
No.
No bang either.
Sorry.
Oh, I don't want to ever come that close to being blown up again.
Anya looked at the lid of the bomb.
What the hell is that?
What?
On the underside of the lid. Looks like an envelope.
Cole scrambled over and pulled the small envelope off the inside of the lid. It had been taped down securely. Cole held it up.
Think we ought to read it?
Well, yeah.
Well, this is interesting.
Give it here.
I knew you would double-cross me, so instead of giving you a nuclear bomb, I've given you a big dud. If you're reading this, then I'm dead and you think you got the better of me. You didn't. See you in hell.
That whole thing is just a big dud?
I love it! Henderson thought he was pulling one over on the guy who built this, and instead he got cheated in the process.
Well, that's the first bit of good news we've had all day.
Yeah, we're not out of the woods yet.
Oh, don't tell me that, Anya. You're spoiling the good mood I'm in.
Can't be helped. Henderson thinks he's getting a big bang. And when he doesn't, you know what that means.
He'll give up his life of crime and raise organic vegetables?
Not a chance. He'll come back here to find out what went wrong.
So let's get the hell out of here, then. We can leave now, right?
I don't know. If Henderson comes back and we're not here to stop him, then he might get away and be free to just do this all over again someplace else. And this time he won't let himself be fooled.
So, you mean we have to stay here and take him down?
We should.
Why can't we just let the cops handle this?
You know, people like Henderson don't get captured by the police. And even if he is arrested, he'll get his high-powered attorneys to spring him.
Well, when you put it like that, how long until he comes back?
A few hours, I guess.
He'll have a lot of people with him, won't he?
Well, he won't come back here alone. And if he finds us, he'll make sure we don't make it out alive.
We need help. It's too much for us to handle by ourselves.
Take the shark and get back to the Seeker. Tell Hunter, Jackson, Dave what's going on. See if they have any ideas.
You'll be all right by yourself?
I've got some things to get ready for our visitors. Just don't waste any time. Get up there and get back. We might have the element of surprise now, but it won't last if Henderson gets here first.
All right, I'm leaving. Just in case.
Who knew shark guys were such good kissers?
I'm the exception to the rule.
Anya watched him hurry in the direction of the submarine.
How long is Cole gonna take to get back? Once he gets out of the cavern complex, he should be able to find the surface and the Seeker easily enough. But the Seeker might have pulled up anchor and gone home.
Anya tried not to focus on that possibility. If she was going to be the only one facing Henderson and his gang, she wanted to make sure she had the maximum advantage possible. The control room had turned out to be a big letdown. The only thing inside was surveillance equipment for the prison cells. They didn't even have a radar screen set up, so she could see if Henderson was on his way back to the cavern or not. Anya spent the rest of her time setting up several choke points leading away from the dock. If she could funnel Henderson and his men into a variety of kill zones, then they stood a chance at making this work. To that end, Anya positioned guns and ammunition at each of the choke points. She created a series of fallback options. She could stage closest to the dock and take out a few of the guards before giving that up and falling back to the next control point. By staggering her attack that way, she hoped to whittle their numbers down until she would eventually have to resort to close-quarters battle with her sword.
The ammunition won't last forever.
Anya fully expected Henderson to show up at any time. More than an hour had passed since Cole had taken the mechanical shark and traveled back to the Seeker.
I guess this is gonna be up to me. Again.
Anya moved to the first position and picked up a submachine gun.
Showtime.
Anya watched as the submarine motored into the mooring area. She couldn't see anyone on the conning tower, but that would have been too much to hope for. Besides, she wanted to let them all get out of the submarine before she started firing. If she attacked too soon, they'd simply retreat into the submarine. Henderson would abandon the complex and live to destroy mankind another day. Anya couldn't let that happen. She watched the submarine glide up to the dock. A hatch opened, and four men emerged, weapons at the ready. Two of them secured the submarine to the dock while the other two covered them. Anya waited. The four guards made their way to the gangway and then crossed over. One of them held a radio. A moment later, Anya saw Sheila's head poke out of the conning tower. Henderson and three more guards followed her. Anya frowned. 9-1 odds were definitely not in her favor. But she had to hold them off for as long as possible. Henderson strode onto the gangway.
I want this area secured. Find the other guards and Anya Creed. Kill the woman on sight, but I want them all found. Drag their bodies here if you have to.
The guards started up the slope while Henderson, Sheila, and the other three guards remained behind.
Watch this, Henderson.
The return fire obliterated her cover behind the crates. Anya fell back to her second position. Anya took out another guard at the second retreat point, but the others were gaining on her. The two remaining guards of the first patrol split up and got positioned on either side of her in a pincer movement that would cut her apart if she let them. She opened fire on her right flank and then charged the guard positioned there. She caught him flat-footed, and as he realized his mistake, she squeezed the trigger. Anya didn't waste time. He fought back, scrambling to punch her and drive her away so he could use his gun, but Anya refused to be thrown. She got her hands around his throat. The guard's eyes bulged out, and he fought desperately to get her off him. Anya held on until his body went limp. Anya rolled and grabbed the dead guard's gun, bringing it up as she rolled over. Anya winced as one of the bullets grazed her forehead, and she felt the flow of warm blood down her face. Anya got to her feet and fell back to her last defensive position. She poked her head out. Anya jerked back, blinking away tears and the splinter that had lodged under her eyelid.
Did I get you, Anya?
No.
That's a shame. I won't miss again.
Maybe that broken wrist is slowing you down some. Maybe you should just walk out into the open and let me finish you off.
Keep dreaming, sweetheart. And I'm a crack shot with only one hand anyway.
How nice for you.
Anya tried to figure out from which direction Sheila would come at her. Off to her left, she could see a stack of crates that would give Sheila cover. But the pile of machinery off to the right would also offer a good vantage point. Sheila wouldn't be able to advance until she knew for certain where Anya was. And if she suspected that Anya might move, it would make things tougher on her. But Anya didn't have anywhere to retreat to. She'd built three fallback positions, thinking that she and the others would have had plenty of opportunity to destroy the attackers before it got to this point.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Oh, I'm not over there.
Anya couldn't get a bead on where she might be. Anya dived and rolled, her body taking over so her slower conscious mind didn't waste time trying to consider all its options. Anya saw Sheila duck and run across the catwalk for cover. There must have been another way to get up to the second level without being seen. And of course, Sheila knew all about it. If she stayed up there, Sheila would be able to get the drop on Anya, and this thing would be over far sooner than Anya anticipated. The remaining guards were now advancing on her. Sheila had distracted her while they got into a better position. Anya caught movement out of the corner of her eye.
Oh. Not bad, Anya. You're a better shot than I gave you credit for. I won't make that mistake again.
Why don't you come down and play? No guns, just the two of us.
You forget that I'm handicapped. Only one good wrist. Besides, I like shooting at you better.
Anya twisted as the rounds bit into the area just above her head. If she hadn't already been moving, she would have died. But she ran for the corridor that led to the prison cells. If Sheila was on the upper level, Anya planned to be there too. She scooted past the bodies of the guards she'd killed earlier. She gained the upper level and ran into Sheila coming down to meet her. Anya dove for the wall. The round struck her gun, splintering it into several pieces. Anya came up with her sword in hand. The blade bit into the submachine gun, and Sheila got her back behind the block.
I won't be easy to kill, Anya.
I never expected you would be.
Anya tried to jerk her sword blade free of the gun barrel.
You're trapped! Give up the blade and we'll go unarmed.
Anya threw the sword and the gun away. But as she did so, Sheila whipped out a bowie knife.
Did I say unarmed? I must have forgotten to tell you about my knife skills.
I never trusted you anyway. Your word means nothing.
Anya watched as her sword cut in and then streamed through Sheila's upper torso, cleaving as it went. Sheila died as she fell, staining the floor in front of Anya and her sword.
I hope Cole brought the cavalry with him.
That's far enough, Anya.
She turned and saw Henderson standing behind her. The gun he held was aimed right at her heart. He shook his head.
Don't think about it. I'm quite the marksman, and I assure you that I will shoot you if you even so much as blink.
Henderson gestured with the gun.
Now then, I'd imagine those are your friends come to rescue you. So let's not be rude, shall we? Let's go have ourselves a nice visit.
Anya walked carefully back down to the dock area, aware as she did so that Henderson stayed just far enough behind her to be out of reach if she chose that moment to attack. And the fact that the hammer was cocked on his pistol meant that he was fully serious about shooting her if he needed to.
Just keep moving. I don't want this to take any longer than is absolutely necessary.
Anya saw the mechanical shark idle up next to the dock, and then Cole emerged, followed by Jax, Holly, and Tom. Anya wondered where Hunter and Dave were. Cole's face initially lit up when he saw Anya, but then he caught a glimpse of Henderson.
Oh, I see you weren't entirely successful.
I got all the rest of them, for crying out loud. Give me some credit.
Just so you all know, I've got a dead bead on Anya's heart from back here, so please don't do anything that would necessitate me pulling the trigger. I assure you that I am quite capable of doing so. Even if you manage to get to me, she will die before that happens.
So, what do you want us to do now? Just stand here?
She's not very much on decorum, is she?
Depends on how you define decorum. She doesn't take bullshit too lightly, though. Better just tell them what you want.
Very well. What I want is to get out of here intact. Seeing as I am currently outnumbered, that means a strategic retreat.
I didn't think that word was in your vocabulary.
It's not normally, but I am a prudent fellow. And since you have the strength of numbers right now, I can see the writing on the wall, and it is definitely time for me to leave.
Feel free to get going. No one here will stop you. You have my word.
If only it was that easy. You see, I need something that I left here.
And what's that?
My nuclear bomb.
Cole glanced at Anya. Anya grimaced and hoped he read that as, "Do not say a thing about the fake bomb."
So, go ahead and get it.
Yes, well, I am a bit long in years and no longer possess the strength needed to move it. That said, I'd appreciate it if you and your fellow there could help move it onto the submarine. Then I'll be on my way.
My friend isn't feeling too well. Choose someone else.
I choose him. Now, he either helps you, or else I'll put a bullet in your friend's heart. Your decision.
Well, when you put it like that... Tom, you up for it?
What choice do I have?
That's the spirit.
Henderson nudged Anya.
If we could just move closer to the dock while the rest of your party comes up the slope and away from me, then I'll know there's no monkey business about to take place.
Jax, Tom, Holly, and Cole moved past them, while Henderson kept Anya between them. Then Henderson backed down the slope and stood on the dock with Anya still in front of him.
There. That wasn't so difficult, was it? Now you and the young man here go and fetch my bomb. Stow it aboard, and I'll be off.
Cole and Tom headed to the lower level. Anya shifted slightly. Henderson poked her in the back.
Ow.
Stand still, Anya. I don't want to shoot you just yet.
It took Cole and Tom just over 20 minutes to bring the yellow case back down the slope.
Be careful. I assure you that cost a great sum of money to have built.
I hope you got your money's worth.
Actually, I didn't. As you could obviously tell, it didn't detonate. So now I'll have to take it with me and have someone examine it to find out what went wrong. I'm assuming you didn't tamper with it.
I'm a dirt digger, not an atomic weapons specialist.
Indeed. Can you and the young fellow get that on board?
We'll have to come down there.
Do so, then.
Cole looked at Tom and nodded. They hefted the bomb and carried it farther down the slope. At the dock, they stepped onto the gangway and then eased the bomb up and through the conning tower hatch. Anya watched them while Henderson kept her in front of his body as a shield. Cole and Tom emerged a few seconds later.
We left it on the bridge.
That's fine. All the easier to get off when I reach my people again.
All right, we did as you asked. Now let Anya go and get the hell out of here.
It's not that easy.
Seems like it would be to me.
Cole took a step.
Ah!
Henderson shot him in the thigh. Cole went down on one knee. Anya started forward to help him.
Not so fast, Anya. Stay where you are.
Blood poured out of Cole's leg. Anya wondered if the bullet had struck the femoral artery. If it had, then Cole needed immediate medical attention. Tom hadn't moved. Henderson turned to Jax.
You and the other girl can see to your friend. I expect you'll need a great deal of pressure to stop that bleeding.
Jax and Holly moved to Cole and got him off the deck of the submarine. Jax examined the wound and her face looked pale.
You nicked his artery by the look of this.
Oh, shame, isn't it? You see what happens when you don't do as I tell you? People get hurt.
Jax put direct pressure on Cole's inner thigh.
What do you want us to do now?
Whatever you like. I'm leaving.
So go.
While I'm sure I've given you something to occupy yourselves in my absence, I can't risk leaving anyone behind who might feel inclined to come after me. So I'm taking some insurance. Anya will come with me, as will that fellow there.
He pointed at Tom.
We need Tom's help to take care of Cole.
It wasn't a request. He either comes with me or he dies here, right now.
Forget about me. Just take care of Cole.
He's not necessary. You've got me, Henderson. Leave him behind.
I need someone to drive the submarine while I keep you under guard. Besides, two is better than just one for insurance anyway, don't you think?
Depends. But it's your boat, so tell me what you want us to do.
You're going on board first, followed by Tom. When I come down, I want you both back against the far side of the bridge. Any trouble, and I'll shoot you.
You're gonna kill us anyway.
If I get to my destination intact with the bomb, then you might just live. No guarantees, of course.
Fine.
Anya climbed up the conning tower and down onto the bridge of the submarine. Tom followed a few seconds later and stood with her while Henderson clambered down, pointing the gun at them the entire time.
Lock the hatch.
Tom went up the conning tower and secured the hatch. Then he dropped back down.
Get us out of here.
Anya frowned. Something was definitely very wrong here. Tom took his seat at the controls and started punching buttons.
Ready.
Excellent. Get us underway.
Anya felt the submarine shift and pull away from the dock. Tom guided it.
I think Anya is a bit confused.
Oh, she hasn't figured it out.
May as well tell her.
I work for Henderson.
That's impossible. How would you even have known that we'd end up in Nova Scotia?
Haven't you learned that I'm a man who likes to cover my bets? We've had our spies looking after Hunter for a while now, and that meant we needed someone positioned with Cole as well. Tom here was the perfect candidate for keeping an eye on him.
I'm still not getting this.
Oh, perhaps I gave you too much credit for being an intelligent woman.
Go to hell.
2 minutes until we clear the tunnel in the cavern.
Excellent. Anya, Hunter's treasure quest for the Phantom has been well known by us for several years.
I didn't think even he knew about it until recently.
Not true. He's actually been quite vocal about his belief that the Phantom held a good supply of booty from the War of 1812.
I thought you didn't care about the treasure.
Well, I don't, really. The material goods mean little to me. However, when we discovered the reservoir of oil located here, we needed a convenient patsy to use as cover while we moved our teams of workers in.
But I thought you wanted Hunter scared off the wreck, hence the mechanical shark.
We wanted him scared enough to stay out of the water, but not so terrified that he left. That would mean someone else might wander into our area, and we'd have to deal with them.
It's too sloppy. You're not telling me something.
Well, there's one little thing we're leaving out.
What?
Did you get it, Tom?
Tom nodded and reached around his neck, removing a chain.
The crucifix.
Tom here's been diving each night while the rest of you slept. My mechanical sharks ensured that he was left unmolested while he searched the wreckage for this.
Cole trusted you, Tom.
So what?
That's why you didn't care about the death and destruction. You've got the crucifix.
And now I'm immortal.
That's just a legend.
Like your sword? We'll soon find out anyway.
How?
Tom, put the crucifix back on.
Tom put it on and then looked at Henderson.
We'll clear the tunnel in 1 minute.
Fine, fine. Once we clear that tunnel, Anya, you'll be glad we're in this submarine. The pressure would kill you otherwise.
Henderson turned and pointed the pistol at Tom's back.
Time now to see if this crucifix really works.
Tom's body spasmed in the chair as the round punched through his back and out the front of his chest, spraying blood onto the instrument panel in front of him. Tom fell sideways out of his chair. Henderson kept his pistol pointed at Anya while he kept the other hand on the steering column.
Easy, Anya.
You incredible murderous asshole!
I don't really care what you think of me at the moment. I'm far more concerned that the crucifix doesn't seem to have worked. I wonder if there's some sort of trick to it. Take it from around Tom's neck.
Then I can wrap it around your neck, strangle you with it, and see if it saves you.
I could just shoot you and be done with it. I can steer this sub quite well by myself. No. Put it around your own neck.
Anya leaned down and scooped the crucifix from around Tom's neck. She didn't feel anything special when she slid it over her head and around her neck.
There. Happy now?
Feeling anything remarkable?
Not a damned thing.
Henderson took a moment to set the autopilot on the submarine and then backed away from the instrument panel, giving himself a better drop on Anya.
So what am I to do here? I was told that crucifix would grant the wearer immortality, and now it appears I've been hoodwinked.
It wouldn't be the first time.
What's that supposed to mean?
Your precious nuke there. Did you wonder why it didn't explode?
I assumed you'd somehow disarmed it. Although I must confess, I thought such a thing was well beyond your skill level.
Yeah, well, surprise. I did disarm it. But that's not the whole story.
Oh?
Nope. The scientist you murdered after he made this for you actually got the last laugh. He made you a dud. There's no nuclear material in there, at least none primed to explode. He might have sprinkled some dust around it so you got a nice read from your Geiger counters, but that's no nuclear bomb.
Henderson looked at the bomb and then back at Anya.
Open it up.
Sure.
Anya walked to the bomb and unclasped the four locks on the lid. When she lifted it up, she saw something she didn't expect. There was a small packet at the bottom of the metal cylinder and a new timer. The timer was counting down, and there were 10 minutes left on it.
I've got a confession to make. I was lying to you.
I'm sure you were. Now step away so I can look at it.
Really, I was trying to get you to look inside there so I could jump you.
I warned you not to do that.
Can't blame a girl for trying to escape.
Henderson brought the pistol up to Anya's chest.
Indeed. And now you must pay the price.
No!
Anya grabbed at the nearest panel for support. Tom struggled to his feet and reached for the steering wheel. Tom was supposed to be dead.
Tom, for God's sake, boy, get the sub level.
Tom nodded dumbly, his chest still spouting blood as he jerked the steering column in the other direction. Henderson started to fall backward, but managed to keep himself upright. The bomb toppled over, rolling part of the distance across the bridge before coming to a stop by the rail support. Tom moved toward Henderson.
Get away from me! I saw you die!
You son of a bitch!
Tom reached out for Henderson. Tom slumped to the floor and lay still. Henderson rushed over and placed the barrel of his pistol at the base of Tom's skull.
There. Now he's really dead.
Henderson clutched the pistol to his chest.
Maybe that crucifix you're wearing does indeed work. Take it off.
Make up your mind.
Take it off and give it to me. I can just as easily remove it from your corpse if you'd prefer.
Anya wasn't sure what had happened to Tom, but she lifted the crucifix over her head and handed it to Henderson. The old man looped it over his head.
There. Oh. Now, that's settled.
Anya looked at Tom's corpse. It wasn't possible the crucifix had really caused him to rise from the dead and try to attack Henderson.
Now, Anya, do me a favor and get the bomb upright again. No sense having an explosive rolling about the bridge. Rather dangerous, if I do say so myself.
I don't see why you'd be worried, seeing as you're supposedly immortal now.
You don't believe it?
Maybe your bullet didn't kill Tom. Maybe he found a little life in him still, and his only thought was to get you, the man who tried to kill him. Guess I wouldn't blame the guy for trying.
I don't know anyone who could withstand a point-blank shot through the heart, do you?
Well, not up until a few moments ago.
Just do as I asked and get the bomb righted, would you?
Anya set the bomb upright and then reached for the lid. As she did, she caught a glimpse of the timer, which now read 2 minutes. She had to do something, or she was going to die with Henderson.
You wanted to look at the bomb, remember?
I do indeed. Stand back and drop the lid, if you please.
Anya stepped away, still holding the lid. Henderson came forward, the crucifix dangling from his neck as he peered inside. He looked back up at Anya.
Why is the timer counting down?
Looks like someone managed to put a little treat in there for you.
Oh! The shot went wild. Anya dropped the lid and kicked Henderson in the chest. Henderson flew into the nearby panel and then crumpled to the floor. Anya looked at the display on the instrument panel near the steering column and saw that the sub was approaching the entrance to the cavern tunnel. Henderson lifted the pistol.
Oh, I should have killed you earlier.
Maybe you should have, but now it's my turn.
Anya's sword blade slid into his hollow chest with little difficulty. Henderson fell forward onto the blade. As he did, his head came forward, and Anya saw the crucifix dangling there.
Give me that.
She scooped the necklace from around his collar, then jerked the sword free of his body, and watched as he slumped to the floor. Then she slid the crucifix over her own neck and patted it once. Anya turned back to the conning tower, dashed up the ladder, and jerked the hatch open. Anya could see the tunnel entrance ahead of her. A wall of water awaited on the other side. Henderson must have developed some sort of almost force field technology in order to preserve the cavern as he had. But there was no time to delay. Anya swung out of the conning tower and onto the deck of the sub. With a final glance at the tunnel opening, she leaped off the sub and into the water. Then she swam for all she was worth. The submarine vanished through the wall of water. Anya felt a sudden brush of movement past her leg.
For the love of God, don't let it be a shark.
She felt something grab her around the ankles. Anya ducked her head underwater again. A black mass with two eyes stared back up at her, and then abruptly, she was buoyed and almost lifted out of the water.
Hiya, Anya.
Dave, what the hell are you doing here?
I wasn't sure if my little going-away present would explode, so I took the liberty of tagging along with the sub and attaching one of my world-famous homemade limpet mines to its hull. Glad you managed to get out of there in time.
Yeah, me too. But we have to get back to Cole. He's in bad shape.
How badly?
I think his femoral got nicked by a bullet.
Shit. Can you still swim for it? Current sucks pretty bad.
I'm exhausted, but I'll keep going.
You make a swim like this with a spirit like that, and you'll be as good as any seal I ever served with. Now, keep your head down and take a deep breath. I think we can make it back there if we follow a path through the water. I'll lead and you follow. Got it?
I got it.
By the time they were within sight of the dock in the cavern, Anya could barely dog paddle. Dave, of course, had energy to spare and sensed her predicament. He appeared alongside of her.
Okay, Anya, I got you. Just relax now and don't fight me.
Like any good lifeguard, Dave turned her onto her back, wrapped an arm across her upper torso, and started side-stroking them back toward the dock. Anya closed her eyes for what seemed like only a second, and then felt arms lifting her out of the water and laying her on the dock. She wanted to do nothing but curl up and sleep forever. But then she remembered Cole.
Wait. Cole, how is he?
She saw him immediately. His face was ashen gray, and there seemed to be an immense amount of blood all over the dock. Jax knelt nearby, and she looked at Anya. Anya saw the briefest shake of her head and felt a renewed surge of energy, her last, flowing through her limbs as she struggled to reach Cole.
No. Wait.
Dave saw her trying to get to Cole, and helped her farther along.
I'll get you there, Anya. Just hang on.
Anya scrambled to move next to Cole. She could see Jax bending over to examine the wound. She looked up at Anya.
I've done the best I can. I got the artery closed up, but he lost a huge amount of blood while I was working on him. I'm sorry.
Anya looked into Cole's eyes.
Hey, you. Glad to see you made it back in time for me to say goodbye.
You're not going anywhere. You'll be fine.
No, if this is what fine feels like, then I'm pretty sure death is a lot worse.
Don't talk like that, okay?
Anya, it's okay. I know you tried. None of us could have seen what was coming. Where's Tom?
Anya thought about telling him that Tom hadn't been who they thought he was, but decided against it. Knowing Cole, he might take the blame, and that wasn't fair.
I'm sorry, Cole. He didn't make it.
I wondered if he would. But thanks for trying to save him.
I did everything I could, but it wasn't enough.
Sometimes life is like that.
Anya slid the crucifix from around her neck and then eased it over Cole's head.
Here's a little souvenir from the Phantom. I thought you might like to have it for when we see Hunter again.
Cole nodded weakly. Anya could see the light going out in his eyes.
That will be nice. I'll miss my brother.
You're gonna see him again really, really soon. Just hang in there.
Listen to me. I never wanted to put you in any danger. I hope you understand that.
Of course I do. I don't blame you for anything, Cole.
Thanks.
Now just hang on. We're gonna move you onto the shark and get you out of here. All right? Cole?
Dave moved in next to her and checked for a pulse in Cole's neck. Anya watched him prod Cole with his still wet fingers, but then he dropped his hand away.
I'm sorry, Anya. He's gone.
Anya looked at the crucifix hanging around Cole's neck. It seemed to sparkle brightly with the seawater still glistening on it. Or maybe it was the tears streaming down Anya's face that made it shine so brightly.
Thanks for trying, Jax.
Jax looked away. Her face seemed wet as well. Dave got to his feet.
We need to get him the hell out of here. No one deserves to die in a place like this.
I'll help.
Jax and Dave lifted Cole off the dock and carried him down toward the mechanical shark. They eased Cole's body through the hatch and disappeared from view. Anya sat for a moment, willing the universe to give Cole back his life.
He didn't deserve to die. He didn't deserve any of this.
Holly came up behind her.
Anya, it's time to go.
All right.
Anya let Holly help her up to her feet. Her legs buckled under her.
Okay, I got you. Just let me get you inside the shark. You can rest there.
I'm fine.
Anya looked up as the roof of the cavern started to fall apart. Massive boulders came down in chunks.
We've got to get out of here now.
Propelled by adrenaline, Holly and Anya scrambled aboard the shark. Dave checked to make sure that everyone was in and then slammed the hatch.
Anya, are you okay?
I think so.
Good, because I'm gonna need your help to maneuver us out of here. We're gonna be dodging boulders the entire way out.
Why is the cavern collapsing like this anyway? Was it unstable to begin with?
I may have used a little too much explosive on the mine I put on Henderson's sub. It's possible the explosion caused the water to draw out into the open ocean, and the pressure became too great for the cavern. Get up toward the front there, and you'll see a small observation visor. It should give you a view of the water ahead of us. Try to see if anything is going to come crashing down on us from above. I'll steer us clear until we can get into the tunnel.
Anya squatted by the viewfinder.
Coming around. Give me a read, Anya.
Clear as far as I can see.
But as she said that, a huge chunk of the cavern roof broke off and plummeted toward the water 20 feet from them.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Now try to make sure we don't get another one of those.
Go right, 10 degrees.
Dave made the course correction and kept his bearing. Anya could see the entrance to the tunnel, but it seemed so far away through the tiny visor.
Go left now, 15 degrees.
You're doing fine, Anya. Now just keep us on our heading, we'll be okay. We're almost there.
Anya saw another section of the roof start to crumble. It was directly ahead of them, over the mouth of the cavern.
20 degrees to the right. Almost there.
Anya could see they were a scant 20 feet from the opening of the tunnel mouth. Anya looked at Dave, but he waved it off.
Can't be helped. If we took any serious damage, we'll just have to weather it for right now. We can't stop.
Anya peered out again through the viewfinder. The water in the tunnel was turning into a vortex of rushing waves that carried the shark along with it. Anya glanced over at Cole's body. Jax and Holly knelt close by, holding him so he wouldn't flop around. They held on to each other for support.
Hell of a ride. Now I know why I hate submarines.
You ought to try getting shot out of a torpedo tube sometime. It's a blast.
That was too horrible, even for you.
Probably.
Anya peered through the viewfinder again. Ahead of the shark, she could see the massive wall of water that seethed and boiled as if there were two converging storm fronts buried deep under the ocean.
I can see the entrance to open water.
Better hang on. The ride's gonna be brutal.
Just how much explosive did you use on that mine?
P for plenty.
D for dead. You might have killed us.
We aren't dead yet.
It's gonna break apart. We're never gonna make it out of here.
She'll hold.
Anya grabbed the closest grip and held on for dear life.
Here it comes. Hold on.
They were through. The fused panels seemed to regain some of their structural integrity, and the water leaks ceased for the time being.
We made it.
Thanks to you.
Thanks to us all. This was a hell of a ride.
You're telling me.
We've got an injury here.
Anya looked at Holly and saw that she had a golf ball-sized lump on her head.
Anything serious?
Nothing that a little time on the ship won't cure. Come on.
Jax laid Holly down and set about taking care of the swelling.
How did you get down here anyway, Dave?
I came down with Cole and the others, but I got off before they motored into the dock. I always prefer going in alone if I can. Anyway, I arranged with them to hold back until I got myself infiltrated and able to store that little improvised explosive in the bomb. Cole told me all about it, so I figured that Henderson might want to take it back. May as well give him his dearest wish.
You did. A good one, too, by the looks of it.
Then it was just a matter of slinking back into the water at the dock and waiting. I couldn't stop Henderson from shooting Cole. I would have been too exposed.
So you rigged the mine?
Not until the sub was underway. I had to set the timer and hope that you knew you had to get out of there.
I did, but not because of your mine. Although I did see the bomb. It toppled over and I saw your present.
What the hell went down in there, anyway?
Just a little struggle for control. But as soon as I saw it, I knew I had almost no time to waste. I got out of there as fast as I could.
Good thing. If you'd have stayed any longer, you never would have made it out in time.
You were willing to take that chance.
I had to. I didn't want to kill you, Anya. But sometimes the mission comes first.
And in this case, your mission was to neutralize Henderson.
I'll never testify to that if you drag me into court.
Who said anything about court?
Dave steered the shark on a course that slowly drew them farther and farther up.
Let's just say that we've known about Henderson for some time. And right now, if my internal clock is functioning, as I hope it is, the other station he built around here should be receiving a fairly large intake of visitors, all too eager to make sure that his plans never see the light of day.
Is that so?
Yep.
But you'd never admit that under oath.
I have no information regarding whatever supposed actions may or may not have been undertaken by my government in the interests of world peace and security.
That sounds like a speech you've delivered before.
I may have had need of it once or twice in the past.
Should I even ask how you came to be on the Seeker in the first place?
I wasn't alone, initially. Jock was a buddy of mine, assigned to this operation from his SBS unit in the UK. We both went in because Henderson had been seen operating around here over the past several months. The Seeker was a good hunch for us.
But if the shark wasn't real, then what happened to Jock?
Henderson had him shot and killed. We found his body floating farther down the coast. I don't know that Henderson had any idea of Jock's true identity, but he was a convenient way to drum up fear with the mechanical sharks.
I thought they recovered body parts and presumed it was Jock.
Henderson had a few stiffs on loan from a morgue that he chopped into bite-sized pieces and scattered around. The evidence seemed to suggest a shark attack, and even I fell for it until I started to suss things out.
Lucky for us, there was no real shark.
Dave nodded and kept his hands on the wheel.
So, Cole tells me you've got this really cool sword.
I have no information relating to the supposed nature or existence of any such thing.
Sounds like you've rehearsed that speech before.
I might have had need of it once or twice in the past.
Yeah, well, if you ever get clearance to show it, I'd love to see it. I'm a big sword fan.
I'll keep that in mind. For now, let's just get back to the Seeker. I'm sure Hunter is going out of his mind.
Presumably. He was determined to come down with us, but Cole told him no.
He did?
Yeah. Said he had a bad feeling about it and begged Hunter to stay with his ship.
I guess he had reason to fear the return trip.
I guess.
Anyone ever tell you two that you talk way too much?
Anya whirled around. Cole was sitting up. Jax had one arm around him to keep him propped up. Cole! And then Anya was rushing, falling into his arms. The dark blue waters off Prospect, Nova Scotia, hummed with noise and activity. As the Seeker bobbed in the undulating swells, smaller boats zipped back and forth, ferrying divers and crews out to the dive site where the wreck of the HMS Phantom lay partially unburied. From the deck of the Seeker, Anya stood with Cole and watched the recovery effort unfold. Cole was looking better than he had in the 2 weeks since he'd almost died in the underwater cavern.
I'm glad the surgery went well.
It was relatively minor. They had to repair the arterial tear properly. Jax used duct tape to stop the bleeding, for crying out loud.
Oh, God. 1,001 uses. Where'd she go anyway?
Hunter says she took off for a more sedate job piloting barges down the Amazon.
Anya nodded. She knew that if Jax really did work for Garin, there was no way she was going to stick around now. Not with the crucifix already recovered. The barge job was just a convenient exit for her.
And Hunter?
Having the time of his life, unearthing this ship means the world to him. And I've decided to stay here for a little while to help him get it all done.
You're giving up the shark thing?
I don't know that I'm giving it up. I just find that I'm not all that anxious to go swimming with them for the time being.
I'm relieved to hear you say that. No sense testing that fresh surgery by risking life and limb, huh?
Well, let's just say that I may have a newfound appreciation for life, having come so close to death.
I understand.
It's the strangest thing, Anya.
What?
When I spoke to you on the dock, I genuinely thought I was dying. I was starting to hear things, see things even. I didn't know what they were, but I knew that my time was almost over.
Well, obviously that wasn't the case. Jax patched you up good, and you just needed a little time to recover from your blood loss. That's all.
That's not it, and you know it.
What are you driving at here, Cole?
Why did you put that crucifix around my neck, Anya?
Anya wanted to tell him something else. She wanted to tell him that she wanted him to have peace of mind and that she thought perhaps seeing the cross would give him some of that. But she didn't think he would believe it. And she wasn't sure she would have in his place either.
I don't know. I just knew you needed to have it around your neck.
Well, I'm glad you put it there. Because as soon as you did, the sensation that I was dying vanished.
But Dave checked your pulse. You didn't have one.
Yeah, I know. It felt like I went to sleep. But at the same time, I knew I wasn't dying anymore. I was just going away for a little while.
And what happened then?
I woke up, and we were on board the Shark. You and Dave were talking, and I felt really pretty good.
Well, if it helps, you look pretty good too.
I'm being serious here, Anya. That crucifix saved my life. You know it, and I know it.
Maybe so, but there are a lot of people who would kill to possess it.
Yes.
You've got to take care of it.
I shouldn't have it anymore. Someone else should take this thing and use it to save others.
It's yours now, Cole. And I can't think of a finer man to carry it with him.
What about a finer woman? You could take it.
No way. I'm already carrying enough around. I don't need another complication in my life.
But what if you need it? It's obvious that your life is pretty much always in danger.
Yep. It sure seems to be. But I have the feeling that the crucifix isn't so much something that grants immortality as much as it is something that gives a better understanding of our own mortality. It grants us an appreciation for life. And it's what we do with that appreciation after we're given it that determines whether the crucifix works or not.
That's pretty deep.
I'm feeling very metaphysical today. And I'm very glad that one of my dearest friends is alive and kicking.
Stay with me.
What?
You heard me, Anya. Stay with me. I don't know what we have here, if anything at all, but maybe there's something. Who knows what it might grow into.
You're crazy, you know that?
I'm being serious.
Anya looked out at the ocean. Hunter's team was really progressing on the dive site. Each day they were bringing up more and more loot that would make them all wealthy beyond their wildest expectations. But it wasn't what Anya wanted. At least, not right now.
I can't stay.
Why not?
It's not that I don't care for you. You know that. But I'm not in a place yet where I can say for sure what my life is supposed to be. Maybe in that respect I'm jealous of you for having come so close to death. weird as that sounds.
Yeah, that does sound pretty weird.
But you know what I mean. You have a clearer view of what your life needs to be. I don't. And until the time that I can figure it out, I won't be much good to anyone. And the last thing I want to do is hurt you, Cole.
I guess I can understand that. I just hope that when you finally do decide, you'll come back.
Maybe I will.
In that case, would it be too much if I asked you for one last kiss before you take off for wherever you're going next?
It wasn't.
Rogue Angel Phantom Prospect is a graphic audio production. Rogue Angel trademark owned by Harlequin Enterprises Limited. Used by others under license. Copyright 2010, Worldwide Library. Production copyright 2011, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, Danny Gavigan, Tony Nam, Julianne Elliott, Christopher Graybill, Elizabeth Demery, Tim Carlin, Nick DePinto, Casey Platt, Terrence Aselford, Thomas Keegan, David Coyne, Ken Jackson, and Elizabeth Jernigan. Additional red shirts performed by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Ken Jackson. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Allison Thomas. The Rogue Angel theme was composed by Chris Rowan. Book adapted for graphic audio by Wilson T. Ferrier. If you enjoyed Rogue Angel, be sure to look for Lilith St. Crow's Dante Valentine series and Elizabeth Moon's Vada's War. Available at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
Graphic Audio presents Peter V. Brett's fantasy masterpiece, The Demon Cycle. Book 1, The Warded Man. Experience a world filled with hardship and pain. By day, humanity struggles to carve out an existence in a land that wants nothing more than to see it fall. By night, the broken rabble cowers behind magical wards, its only protection from the relentless bloodthirst of the demon plague. But just as the light threatens to fade away forever, and shadow is poised to shroud all in its wake, three survivors will band together to do battle with the savage horde. Led by a mysterious, fearsome warrior known only as the Warded Man, humanity will wage a bloody war against the creatures of the night. A war that could bring it to the very brink of destruction or capture its final salvation. Don't miss the savage action of The Warded Man Parts 1 and 2. Coming soon in graphic audio.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.